We read in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so each time we partake of the Lord's Supper together and personally, we are confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Maybe one of the most beautiful confessions of faith in all of Scripture was made by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, part of his own personal testimony, where we read these words, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's not my intent this morning to give a detailed exposition of that rich passage, but to share with you a few thoughts. Obviously, we could analyze his words, seek to understand them better. We could look at those words with great admiration and then put them aside and press on in our Christian walk. But I think that they're given to us by the Holy Spirit in order for us to own, that those words may indeed be our testimony, that they may be, in fact, written upon our hearts. By grace alone, through faith alone, we personally belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brought into vital union with him. And with the Apostle Paul, every believer says, with a measure of certainty and real joy, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." True of every believer. Concerning the context of those words, we all understand, I think, something of that. Paul's confession here grows out of his very adamant and strong defense of the gospel, of being righteous before a holy God on the basis of Christ's blood and righteousness alone, received by faith alone. That being true, some would argue, and again, to put it simply, for time's sake, well, if Christ provides a perfect righteousness with God, and it's received by faith, then it must be okay to live in sin. Since one is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, our sin doesn't matter. Not since we're in Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul responds very clearly to that, just as he does in the letter to the Romans. God forbid. That's not the case. It can't be the case. And note what he says in verse 19. "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God." In other words, through the law, I am shown how my best works are polluted by sin, so that I am dead to the law as a way of salvation in order that I might be alive, that I might walk in newness of life, that I might be alive unto God. And God's word teaches us quite plainly that those who are made righteous by Jesus Christ must be made alive then unto God. In other words, that those who are forgiven in the blood are also renewed by the blood unto newness of life. That's Paul's point, I think, in verse 19. Those who have been joined to Christ, those who have been forgiven by God and made righteous in his work, must and do then live out of that and do so by faith in him, in a life of gratitude, in a life of thanksgiving to the Lord who has saved them. And Paul makes this very personal here in his testimony. This is not theoretical for the Apostle Paul. It's not a theological construct, but it's indeed personal. "I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We just can't miss how personal that is. Note the I's in verse 20. Four times, I. Three times, me. So in preparation for coming to the Lord's table this morning, consider with me just a few brief thoughts. Again, we don't have time to develop these thoughts, but just a few brief thoughts from this wonderful confession. And first, crucified with Christ. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. What does he mean? He's saying there very plainly that as Christ was crucified, so was he. What an amazing assertion. That's an amazing assertion, obviously, because, first of all, because Christ was crucified. How incredible is that? That in 33 AD, outside Jerusalem, at a real place on a hill called Golgotha, Christ was nailed through his hands and feet to a cross, and then he was lifted up, and there he hung and suffered and bled until he really died. In itself, that's amazing because he's the Son of God. He's God who has come in the flesh, and he is sent of God even to die in such a way. And adding to that amazement, Paul says, with Christ. With Christ who hung there. I have been crucified. And it's certainly implied, even though Paul is very personal here, but it's certainly implied that this testimony is not meant to be something exclusive to himself. It wasn't that only I, Paul, was crucified there with Christ. But Paul assumes that this is true for all who have received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Therefore, true for each one of us who profess the Lord Jesus. Now, obviously, we aren't to take it literally in a physical sense. He's not saying that he was personally crucified, personally, physically nailed to a cross. It's not to be taken emotionally either. We shouldn't read into that somehow the story of Christ's passion so affected him that he began to associate and identify with Christ. You know, as he contemplated or maybe meditated upon the cross, the death of Christ, he tearfully arrived at a point of identifying himself with Christ as if he were, you know, think of a little boy reading some action novel, identifying with some hero, and then becoming a martyr for such a cause. That's not what the apostle meant. It wasn't some emotional experience. But that I am crucified with Christ literally means that I belong to Christ, is what he's saying. And on the cross, he took my place. Paul is giving us his personal expression of what substitutionary atonement means. Christ died for me. He took my place. He died instead of me on my behalf. And so Paul emphasizes that, as he goes on to say, and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. The Son of God died as my substitute. To be crucified with Christ means that when Christ hung on that cross, Paul is saying, he knew me. He's saying that he was assuming my place before God's judgment seat. And so, just as Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I lay down my life for the sheep. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 6, a familiar gospel of Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So Paul was speaking of this wonderful truth of substitution, the very essence of the gospel. To be crucified with Christ means that by grace, you see, Christ took your place. It means by grace that Jesus died for your sins. It literally means Jesus died instead of you. It means you were with him in the sense that God gave him, the Lord Jesus, to represent you, to take upon himself your sins and to receive the punishment that your sins deserve. Why? Why? Simply because he loved you. That's what Paul tells us. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he loved you. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And the cross proclaims salvation, that all those for whom Christ died shall indeed be saved because they were given to the Son by the Father. And he died, you see, as their substitute. He died in their place. And note the apostle goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, what is Paul saying except I live no more? It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. It's another wonder of grace. Christ not only died for me, but, says Paul, as a consequence of his dying for my sins, he now lives in me. Think about it. To be crucified, one dies. And Paul says, that's what I did. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Something died with Christ. Christ not only died to pay for my sins, but he died to deliver me from the bondage and the dominion of those sins. See, it gets back to the, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound if it's all in, God forbid. Romans 6:6, the Apostle Paul says, we know that the old self, what does he say, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved, or that we would no longer serve sin. So what's the point? Well, the Christian is different. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm different. I'm different from what I once was. Because Christ's death, you see, was not only a payment for sin by bearing God's wrath, by obtaining forgiveness for my sins, but it was also in terms of deliverance. It was also in terms of ransom. I live no more, says Paul, because back yonder, back then, I was of myself a slave. I was in bondage to sin back then. That's what I served, and I did that willingly. That was my life, Paul says, according to the flesh. But Christ died to change all that. Christ died to destroy bondage so that now it's a new life. It's Christ in me. So we are with Christ, you see, in his death. We are with Christ in his resurrection. That's why often in baptism, as when we baptize somebody buried in the likeness of his death and then raised, to what? To walk in newness of life, to live out of that resurrected life. He died so that I might no longer live, you see, out of the principle of a willing service to sin. He died that I might now live unto him as my Savior and Lord. Paul is telling us here in another way that he's a new creation, that he's a new creature in Jesus Christ, and it's by grace alone. And Paul is saying, I love my Savior. And why do I love him? Because he first loved me. And as Paul says there in verse 20, I live now in this world of sin. Yes, this sinful, and I'm not perfect by any stretch. But now I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Faith. Boy, we could go on a bit about faith, couldn't we? That faith, what is faith? Well, it's that unbreakable bond that joins us to Christ. It's that instrument that God uses to bring us into vital union with Jesus Christ. I live all my life, says Paul, not parts of it, but all my life is lived out of him by faith. In other words, all is directed to him, towards the Son of God, who so amazingly loved me. So much we could say about this subject of faith. It's God's gift, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Faith is knowledge. It opens our minds. It opens our understanding to know the truth of Christ's love and his atoning work. Again, in a personal way, faith is trust and confidence and reliance. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper and when we eat the bread and when we drink from the cup, we are confessing with Paul our assurance that Christ loved me. We are appropriating that. We're saying, yes, this is for me. This is what Christ has done for me. He's given himself up to the wrath and the judgment of God for me. He died for me, for all of my sins, for all that my sins deserved. He gave himself for me. And of course, we proclaim this together, don't we? We share that together. What a joy that is, to have this mutual faith, this mutual assurance. But it must be our personal confession. It was personally appropriated, as the Apostle Paul did. May these words be etched, as it were, upon our hearts to our comfort of faith and our great joy in Jesus Christ, whom to know is abundant and eternal life. Amen.
Turn in our hymnals to 356.